The ESPN San Antonio Audio Vault is powered by AA Best Bail Bonds. 210-225-2121. Or online at mybestbailbonds.com.
It is the Blitz. You're on 1250 ESPN San Antonio, 94.5 FM. Check us out. Go to Facebook Live on our ESPN San Antonio Facebook page. You can check out the beautiful mug of Jason Minix and on me, Rob Thompson. And, man, aren't you glad you're dialed in right now. Tiger King is taking over the country. It is the most bizarre, ridiculous, and fabulous thing we have ever watched. We have so many questions. So what do? We reached out to someone in the know. Robert Moore is joining us. Now, Robert's an author. He's got a book out on Trails, an exploration. He writes for magazines, but the podcast is what we want to talk about. Robert, welcome onto the Blitz. Thank you so much for taking time and joining us today.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Appreciate the time. So you're very familiar with Joe Exotic and his history. When you were watching this, and I will tell you, when I first started it, first episode, I was like, got into second two, and then I finished the whole thing. And it really is kind of an indescribable, if you tell something, you can't spoil it because it's all so crazy. At what point did you realize when you were with all these guys and they were coming out with the Netflix series that this was going to be the hit that it has turned into?
Well, you know, there's something about this story. It's just addictive, right? It's like meth for your eyeballs. You just can't, you know, it's not good for you. You can't look away. And it was like that for me from the very beginning. I discovered Joe back in 2015, and I went down to interview him for this magazine. And the story never actually ran, but I spent a week living at his zoo. And, you know, during that time, he started talking to me about how he wanted to kill Carol, and he had a gun set aside for killing Carol and all these things. And I thought, man, this is going to make for a great story one day. But at that point, there was no story. He hadn't hired a hitman yet. None of that had happened. It was just a wacky guy living at a zoo, breeding tigers, you know, who had multiple husbands. So I waited and waited. I went and interviewed Carol, and I just waited. And then once he got arrested, I knew I had a great story. So I pitched it to New York Magazine and then to Wondery for this podcast. That all happened. Then afterwards, I went to the trial, and I met Eric and Rebecca, who made the documentary. And I started talking to them, and they started telling me about all of the access they had. Basically, they had bought Joe's hard drives. They got access to all his footage that he'd been filming, and they bought his hard drives. In the trial, they actually got called out for it, because I think they gave him like $60,000 or something for all of his hard drives. So they had everything Joe had ever shot. And then as soon as I found that out, I said, wow, this is going to be an incredible documentary, because they just have so much footage.
The podcast is Joe Exotic, Tiger King. You can catch it on Apple Podcasts. Did I see it ranked at sixth today?
Yeah, number six in the country. That's it.
Yeah, it's going to be number one real soon. You know, and one of the things with the – and I'm curious, since you spent so much time with them, you are so in the weeds with this group. How real is what we're watching on Netflix? I mean, the way they put this story together.
You know, for the most part, it's pretty real. It's basically – accurate. These people are all like that. They're all very strange, larger-than-life, surreal people. However, you know, there's a couple things that are a little sneaky that they do. There's a couple of little scenes they take out of context or things they switch around chronologically. Mostly, they're not very consequential. There's a couple that I think actually are consequential. They make it look like Travis killed himself on purpose. They put this shot of him smoking a cigarette, saying, "This is going to be my last cigarette." Travis didn't kill himself on purpose. It's very clear that was an accident. And I think that shot was taken out of context. The really disturbing thing is it seems to me that people seem to think that Joe is innocent. I mean, did you guys come away from this watching this documentary thinking Joe didn't do it, that he was framed?
I think Joe is guilty of everything under the sun and nine more things that we don't know about yet.
You guys would not believe how many people on my Twitter feed are telling me Joe is framed. He didn't do it. You know, Jeff set him up. And I can tell you for a fact that is not true. I was at the trial. Joe did this.
I don't think anybody doubts that. Maybe the way that the documentary was put together. We're speaking with Robert Moore. He is behind the podcast, Joe Exotic, the Tiger King. Let me kind of set the table for what this is about. There's a guy up in Wynnewood, Oklahoma. He goes by the name Joe Exotic. He is gay, flamboyantly so, and has two husbands. Started a big cat farm there in Wynnewood, just a little bit north of the Texas border up there, and there were hundreds of cats out there. And it's the story not only of him, but of all these big cat keepers across the country, and every one of them seems to be a lunatic. Every one of them has some kind of crazy story behind them, and it's almost a cultish thing. You know, they all have this kind of leadership mentality where they like to lead the cult of volunteers and wherever it might be, Florida, South Carolina, it doesn't matter. They gather them together. What is the singular thing that you took away from Joe Exotic that made him what he is? Is it his desperate need to be famous? Is his desperate love of cats? Is it just the guy who does not give a bleep about anything and he's moving forward because that's the only thing he knows how to do? I'm trying to define this man, Joe Exotic.
I think it's all of those things together. I mean, the thing you have to remember about Joe is he grew up in Kansas and Wyoming and then later moved to Texas as this really scrawny gay kid who was bullied, he was abused, and I think he built this larger-than-life persona as a kind of armor around himself, you know? And he learned early on that when bullies mess with you, you have to respond twice as big. He told me once, I don't know if this story is true, but he told me he went around his parking lot when he was, you know, these jocks were beating him up in high school. So he went around the parking lot and sprinkled roofing nails all over the parking lot and popped like 100 cars' tires. And he had to work all summer to pay off all the tires. I said, Joe, is it worth it? And he said, yeah, it was worth it. You know why? Because they never effed with me again. And that's kind of the idea he carried through his life. And then once he discovered exotic animals, these big cats, you know, that made him feel powerful. He was able to lure in these young men to live with him because they wanted to be around the cats. That's a through line you see with a lot of people who have these big cat menageries. It's like a power thing. It's a dominance thing. And then when Carol Baskin comes into his life and starts trying to take him down, it makes him crazy because he can't control her. He can't dominate her. She keeps outwitting him at every turn, and it just turned him into, like, this murderous person.
Well, hey, all right, so we're there. I mean, you bring up Carol. I've got lots of questions about this Carol chick as we visit with Robert Moore, the Tiger King expert. I get the feeling in the Netflix series, they want to make her as the sympathetic figure. She's just as bat bleep crazy as the rest of them, right? How is, or is there a series coming with her? Because did she really feed her husband to the tigers? Why is she able to get all these volunteers when she actually started out as the big cat breeder herself? I mean, she was breeding big cats. How is she kind of the sympathetic figure in this whole story?
Well, I don't know if she is the sympathetic figure in the documentary. Most people on my Twitter feed are saying that they hate her. They think she's a hypocrite. They think she's a liar. But however, so I will say this. There's two issues. First, there's the disappearance of her husband. That is very suspicious. The evidence there does not add up. There's a bunch of little pieces of evidence. You know, his van is found at this airport. The seat was pushed too far back for his leg, so he couldn't have driven the van. There's no flights showing taken off that day. He filled out a restraining order saying he was afraid of her. On my Twitter feed, I have a lot of other things that weren't presented in the documentary, including that she had another boyfriend named Jay Baikal after that, who also took out a restraining order against her and said that she had made remarks indicating that her husband had been murdered and she was worried about his body being found. That is suspicious, okay? I don't want to publicly, I'm not going to say whether I think she did it or not. Legally, that case is still open. You know, I don't want to, you know, get in trouble. I don't know. I don't have any inside information. However, there's this other thing, which is the big cat thing. And the reason why people give her a break and why, to a certain degree, I give her a break is you have to look at the trajectory of these people's lives. So Joe Exotic started with a sanctuary. He just wanted to save cats. That's all he wanted to do. And over time, he got a little bit more greedy. So he started breeding them. He started letting people pet them. He started selling them. And then he got too many cats, so he started killing them. And it got very dark and twisted. Carol started the other way. She was breeding them and selling them in the beginning. And now she's moving towards trying to get it so that so all that stuff is banned. She's trying to shut all that down in America. You can say she's doing it for selfish reasons. She wants to be the only one with cats, whatever. Either way, I think there should not be tigers in people's backyards in cages. Maybe people disagree with me, but I think that's screwed up. Having spent enough time in this world, I think anyone who's trying to stop that, I will be on their side politically, because there's no reason to have a tiger in a cage in your backyard. There just isn't.
No, Robert, and just to piggyback on that, I agree with you. And what I have learned in my 7 hours of experience and education in this, everybody that has a big cat, everybody that has a tiger, they're effing crazy. And they should not be allowed to own a hamster, let alone a tiger or a lion, because all of them are nuts. All of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. There's something about, you know, I mean, exotic animal people are eccentric in general, right? Monkey people tend to be pretty eccentric. There's a reason why they're drawn to animals that are not like a dog or a cat. Like a dog or a cat is easy. Like they love you back. You love them. They're never going to kill you in your sleep. These people are attracted to animals that could kill you in your sleep. It takes a certain type of person to be attracted to that. So they're all like that. However, the people in this documentary, Doc Antle, Mario Tabrow, who is the basis for Scarface, you know, Jeff Lowe, right, Joe Carroll, these are the pick of the litter, so to speak. These are the, you know, if these people are all colorful, these people are like neon colored.
James, you have a question or two?
Do I? Now, Robert, we were talking a little bit before you went on, but the documentary kind of picks up on Tiger King about him and marrying his husband and then Travis coming in. But there's this other husband who was around kind of before this, and the weirdness of how all that unfolded was just totally shocking to me.
Well, there's actually a couple of husbands. I mean, by my count, he had 4 or possibly 5 husbands in total. But so the very first husband he had is a guy named Brian Rhine. And from everything I've heard, that was a genuine relationship. Brian was out. He was gay. He was not like some young straight guy. He was, and they lived together. They lived outside of Dallas. They had a pet store. You know, they had a pretty good life. They raised poodles, whatever. Then Joe opened up this zoo in honor of his brother, and Brian was HIV positive. He ended up dying of complications regarding that. He basically died in Joe's arms in a hospital parking lot, and it was a very, very sad thing that happened. And a lot of people told me that after that, Joe changed. They said that's when Joe Exotic was born and Joe Schreibvogel started to disappear. This idea, this persona started to take over. And also Joe started to date these other guys who were like young, straight, very rough guys. It was almost like he didn't want to open himself up to a true relationship. So he had these like kind of, you know, controlling, strange relationships with 18-year-old mm-hmm. straight guys. The next boyfriend he had after Brian Rhine was a guy named J.C. Hartpence, who, if you Google him, you will find, and I've talked to him on the phone from prison, he is a nasty character. He went to prison first for sexually molesting a young girl and is now serving life in prison for first-degree murder. And, I mean, he is like the scum of the earth. And this is, you know, what Joe would do is he would be attracted to these young guys who are like very dangerous, young, kind of lost people with drug addiction. And he would lure them in, give them guns, he'd give them money, he'd give them drugs, and he'd keep them around for a while. It was almost like, you know, the way he kept the tigers. He kept them locked up in that zoo.
Robert Moore is joining us. You need to follow him on Twitter, and it's Robert Moore. There is no E on the end of Moore, so it's Robert Moore and underscore. The podcast is spectacular. The Netflix show is amazing. The podcast is Joe Exotic, The Tiger King. You can get it wherever you're looking for. It's by Wondery. You said you spent a week on the farm there in Wynnewood. Tell us what that was like.
Yeah, so I lived in a trailer. Joe very graciously gave me a trailer. It was called, he called it a FEMA trailer. It's like one of those ones he got after Hurricane Katrina. There was no running water in it. There were these mysterious brown stains all over the floor. And there was no air conditioning. It was the dead of summer. So it wasn't very pleasant. Also, at nighttime, I could hear the lions right outside my window. They were maybe 10 feet away outside my window, and I would have dreams about them. One night, I woke up, and someone was trying to wrench open the door. The whole trailer was shaking because they were trying to rip open the door. And I was convinced it was a lion that was trying to eat me in my sleep. It turned out it was just one of Joe's security guards trying to, like, go in and take a nap, basically. But, yeah, it was kind of a little bit, it started to make you a little paranoid being there. I started locking my laptop in the trunk of my car because I was sure that Joe or someone was going to try and steal it and hack into it. You know, it was there was a weird vibe there. I mean, the meth vibes coming off of that place were very strong.
Well, I mean, Robert, the meth vibe. There's so much there. When you started this whole thing, it's meth for your eyeballs. And there is so much to unpack with this thing. But, you know, the one part, and I finished the series pretty quickly. James Pledge, our producer, finished it. Rob, who watches more TV than any of us combined, still is only on like episode 5 or 6. So we haven't gotten into one of the more entertaining parts of the docuseries on Netflix yet. And that is the singing career that Joe Exotic has. I'm curious, Robert, which is your favorite song from Joe Exotic?
Oh, I mean, so there's obviously the fan favorite is I Saw a Tiger. That's sort of his theme song. Yep. He has one that's really curious called Pretty Woman Lover, which is really odd. It's all him talking about his love of pretty women and dancing with women, which doesn't make any sense because he was, you know, as gay as they come. He has a bunch of other good ones. I mean, the other one that everyone loves, of course, is the one about Carol, right? It's called Here,
yeah, Here Kitty Kitty.
Kitty.
Yeah, we're just trying to. He's singing about killing her.
Yeah, yeah, that one.
And the videos.
Yeah.
Well, Robert, you have stumbled onto something that has become a cultural phenomenon, given the current times. We're all locked into the very same things because it's all coming through our TV screens, and you have found the pulse, man. Congratulations on this. The podcast is extraordinary. You can find it on your iTunes. You can find it where you can find any other podcast. Go ahead, James. You can find it wherever you can you get your podcast. Joe Exotic, Tiger King by Robert Moore. Go ahead, James.
Robert, one more thing. We didn't really get to touch on Joe's political career and the fact that a gay polygamist, gun-toting libertarian independent could garner almost 20% of the vote for a governor in Oklahoma. I mean, what does that say about Oklahoma?
No. That's something the documentary did that was misleading. I've had other people say it to me. He did not win 20% of the general election. He won 20% of the Libertarian primary. So he got 20% of the primary, and the Libertarian candidate got 2% in the general. So you can do the math on how much of the actual population of Oklahoma voted for him. It was not that much. But
so,
you know, he
got the speck of a crumb.
Yeah, that's right. Also, I should be clear, because I forgot to mention this. Of course, you guys know Joe did not sing those songs. That was not Joe singing those country songs. That was an outfit called the Clinton Johnson Band in Washington that Joe hired. He just lip-synced it all. It was a Milli Vanilli kind of thing.
What? No, that ruined it. That ruined it all. I thought, you know what, Robert? I'll tell you, man. I thought, well, if all else fails, the dude does have a pretty decent voice.
No, but if you listen to his speaking voice, it's nothing like that singing. I mean, he doesn't have a rich baritone country singer voice.
But if you ever, Robert, when you know, especially what we do, sometimes you talk to an athlete, you see a guy, and you walk away going, I did not expect him to sound that way in person. Or, you know, you meet
Mike
a bunch
Tyson of
singers, and their talking voices don't match their singing voices. I mean, because I'm sitting here, you've been with this guy for now, what, or been on his radar and known about
five
him
years.
For 5 years. I have a cousin who grew up in Duncan, Oklahoma, who posted on Facebook her photo when Joe Exotic brought tigers to her elementary school back in the early 2000s,
oh my
I guess.
God.
She knew about him, although had never gone to the zoo. But you're probably sitting there going, I've known about this crazy stuff for how long? 5 years. And now all of a sudden, 5 years later, you're taking that bit of knowledge, the podcast, and going, welcome to the party, because the rest of the world is now finally at the party you've been looking at for a number of years now, man. Well done.
Yeah, it's kind of surreal, to be honest. I mean, to be honest, I've been trying to get out of this party for a while now. The party gets kind of sad after a while when you're in it for too long. You don't want to stay too long at the meth party. But I've been on this. I've been watching this crazy carnival for a long time. And it's really surreal to see it blow up the way it has. One other little funny story you'll like about Joe, about him taking tigers to this girl's zoo. He also took a tiger, a full-grown tiger on a leash, into a gay bar in Oklahoma one time. And I talked to multiple people who were there for that.
Everything about that
a
sentence.
Jokes, a lot of jokes. I'm not even going to touch. Not even going to go there. Robert, you're a writer, and obviously it feels like there is a movie in here. I hear that Carol Baskin might have a movie made regarding her life, and Kate McKinnon from Saturday Night Live might be portraying her. If you were to pick the actor to play Joe Exotic, who would the guy be to choose that you would choose?
Yeah, so to clarify, the podcast that I made for Wondery is being made into a miniseries by
awesome.
UCP. So that's – so, you know, I don't know if you guys ever saw Dirty John with Eric Bana
yes.
and Connie Britton. So that's Wondery. It's the same type of deal. They're making one out of Dr. Death, and now they're making one out of this Joe Exotic story. Kate McKinnon is signed on to play Carol Baskin. We don't have a Joe Exotic yet. You can tweet at me, at Robert Moore, M-O-O-R, underscore – or tweet at UCP, which is Universal, who is making the TV show, with your suggestion. I've heard a lot of good ones. I mean, just today, you know, people told me Dax Shepard is interested.
That's good.
I did a radio show in Tampa. They said Brad Pitt, which I was like, I don't think that's going to happen. My pick for Joe Exotic has always been Margot Robbie. I think Margot Robbie doing like a gender switch thing, you know, like Meryl Streep playing a rabbi. I think that would be perfect. Her with a mustache. If you've seen I, Tonya, you know she would be perfect. And her eyes look just like his eyes. I mean, when you look at their photos side by side, if you go on my Twitter feed, I posted their photos. I think she would be ideal.
I didn't think it could get any weirder, but why not? Margot Robbie is Joe Exotic. Robert Moore, you have pulled the curtain back just enough, I'm sure, to get everybody interested. The podcast is from Wondery. It's called Joe Exotic Tiger King. You can find it wherever the podcasts are. Listen to them. They are fantastic. Watch the series and get ready for the miniseries, because it's just going to be off the chain as well. Robert, thank you so much for spending some time with us today, man. We were excited to talk to you, and you lived up to billing. Joe Exotic, Robert Moore's got the Tiger King going on the podcast world. Thank you so much for your time today, man.
Thanks so much, guys. Also, I want to say hi to my sister, Alexis. She lives in San Antonio. I think she's listening right now. So, hey, Lex.
Oh, awesome. Hey. Well, hey, Lex, from all the Blitz crew as well. Take care. Robert Moore joining us. Follow him on Twitter. It's at Robert Moore. No E on the end and just an underscore. And again, the podcast is Joe Exotic, the Tiger King. Crazy. I warned you guys. We tried to tell you that this, in this case, fiction would be not even enough. This is the craziest story we've ever seen. You need to dive in on it.
And think about it. You talk about a crazy story. If they would have written a script and taken it to Hollywood, they would have been laughed at. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And you know, I was just texting with my cousin, you know, that, you know, he used to bring those tigers to the schools, and the kids would take pictures with them. He was weird, and, you know, because it's only about an hour from Duncan, Oklahoma. And you know how strange it is in Duncan, Oklahoma. And this is an hour away. But I just got a message on Facebook. I don't know if I should say his name, but he said, true story, Joe was married to the second cousin of my former neighbor over there living in Stone Oak. He said he never met him because he didn't come to a wedding or something. But, I mean, the people that are now coming out saying, I know this guy, is kind of incredible.
Not only is he got the best haircut you've ever seen, he's a snappy dresser on top of it.
yeah.
I don't know where you find the clothes
he's
got.
Your Halloween is set.
Oh, we're going to be a lot of Tiger Kings walking around. But I have to say, Robert Moore did kind of shatter my opinion of the guy that that wasn't his own voice. He didn't sing those songs. No, I thought that was him. I was like, you know what? This dude actually got some talent. He can actually sing.
I didn't realize that was a cover band. I thought he was. So you're telling me after his husband blew his head off and they're having the funeral, he starts singing. That ain't him?
I thought it was.
I thought it was real footage. He was lip syncing at his husband. He's turning a funeral into a concert.
You got to watch it. Joe Exotic's the name of the show on Netflix. Listen to the podcast to get the things that have fallen through the cracks as well.